Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, he lay victorious, over sin, over death, over wrong, over us. Victorious, he lay victorious.
Say this together. This is my Bible, and this is God speaking to me. I am who the Bible says I am. I have what God's word says I have, and I can do what the scriptures say I can do. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, if you would please, chapter 12. This year, I believe, is the third year that in the month of January, we have talked about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You know that you don't journey through life as a believer who has welcomed the Holy Spirit into your life. You and I do not journey just in our own strength, our own wisdom, and our own ability. We have supernatural endowment of power, supernatural empowerment to navigate the issues of life, to be blessed by heaven, and to be a blessing on behalf of heaven. Let me just tell you something, that our primary citizenship, I don't know, there may be people in here who are your Mexican citizens, or your Canadian citizens, your American citizens, or your Blythe citizens, or whatever, from whatever country you're from. Wherever you're from, our primary citizenship is in heaven. Amen. And really, we're just on loan here for a little bit to let our light shine. I love the little video that we saw during the announcements of the light, and that we are here to be light in the dark world in which we live, because God so loves this world, he leaves us here. When we got saved, the Lord could have just taken us immediately to heaven, but he has a plan, and that plan is to leave us here as ambassadors from heaven, on loan to this crazy world because of his great love, like he put Jesus here on loan. We're here on loan. We're the body of Christ now. And we are to love a hurting world, and we're to light the darkness, and we are to be an expression of Jesus. And we don't do that in our own power, but we are empowered by the Holy Spirit and have supernatural giftings and graces, so that we're not just trying to do this, walk this out as best we can as human beings, but we have God's assistance in all that we do. You know, the Holy Spirit is called a helper. And the Greek word there is paraclete, and it means one that is called alongside us to help. And it's important for us to know, as we welcome the Holy Spirit in our lives anew and afresh for 2017, that we remember that primarily the Holy Spirit is our helper. And many times Christians want to make the Holy Spirit the doer. We're the doers. He's the helper, but we want him to be the doer. And that's just not how God has intended it. Are you with me? Everyone here? And so we want to send the Holy Spirit, just go out and make people come to church. No, Jesus told us to go out and invite people to come to church. So don't try and send the Holy Spirit to do what Jesus told you to do. Everyone drive safely. Thank you. If we can just have Ray and Helen sing one more song, we'll go. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay, so we are the doers. We're the activating agent from heaven in earth, and the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. He guides us in doing that. He informs us in doing that. And so I'm so excited to preach, and I'm just going to have fun, and to talk about the beautiful ministry of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit empowered living. And many years ago, I read the book, which is a great book, and I think we possibly have it in the bookstore, called Good Morning, Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. And not everything Benny Hinn says feeds me, but that book was very good. And just a great book on the personal relationship of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to write a sequel to that called Good Afternoon, Holy Spirit, because it'll just be better for me flow that way. John's Gospel. Here in John chapters, of course, Jesus didn't preach in chapters and verses. He was preaching along, and he would say that, well, now this will be chapter 15. No, he just preached. And so for sake of sake of convenience and reference, we divide the Bible into chapters and verses. But here in this passage in John chapters 14 and 15 and 16, Jesus is so passionate and so excited about telling his disciples about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He is really stirred and excited. And so he's explaining to them that his earthly ministry is about to end, and that he'll be going away, and that though he's going away, it's all right. In fact, he says it's expedient for you, it's better for you, it's advantageous to you that I go away, because if I do, I'll send the Holy Spirit, and he will be your comforter. And Jesus tells them many things about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's trying to encourage them about the Holy Spirit's ministry. So in John's Gospel chapter 14, let's look at just a few verses here, and we'll go through this just to kind of give a quick look at what, and I'm in the wrong gospel. I sure love you, church, and it's good to have Dan back, my twin brother here. He took a month off, I guess, or whatever he's done. I don't know what that was about, but John chapter 14. Sorry, John chapter 14. Here we go. Let's begin at verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So Jesus was here for a time. Then his assignment was complete, and he went away. But the comforter is with us forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because the world does not see him, doesn't know him. You know him, Jesus said, talking to his disciples. You know him, for he's been with you, but he shall be in you. I'll not leave you comfortless, and I will come to you yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, shall you also live. So we see here that Jesus is making some promises about the Holy Spirit, and that he's going to send another comforter. Verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John chapter 15, at the very end there, two verses. Verses 26 and 27. When the Comforter has come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. And you also shall hear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. John chapter 16, verse 4. Verse 4, but these things have I told you, that when the time comes, that you will remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask, where are you going? But because I have said these things, sorrow has filled your heart. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. And he will glorify me, for he shall receive from me and will show it unto you. So we see here a lot of things that Jesus told his disciples in this passage. I talked about this a little bit on Thursday night, and then we're going to kind of shift gears here for today. As we say to the Lord, Lord, we welcome the Holy Spirit at Victory Christian Center in each of our lives, in the life of this body. We welcome the Holy Spirit in 2017. But how do we position ourselves to really increase our partnership with him and allow him, as the Holy Spirit wants to be our helper and to really engage in, more than we ever have, to engage in supernatural, Holy Spirit-empowered living. Does that sound interesting to anyone at all besides me? Okay, good. So that's what we're going to talk about. But Jesus said several things. First of all, he said the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said. We just read that. I'm going to send the Holy, whom the world cannot receive. You can receive him. You know him because he's been with you, but he shall be in you. So let me just tell you that it is important to understand that we are worthy vessels for the Holy Spirit because we're born again. Because we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ, not our own human self, but our spirit because of the blood of Jesus. We've been made righteous. He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. And we are a fitting, worthy dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. I want you to really appreciate. Let us determine to appreciate the fact that God has made it possible for us to be his dwelling place. That's amazing. That's miraculous. That's mind-boggling when you think about it. For not too long ago, God was relegated to a box called the Ark of the Covenant, where he was put in a room, in a certain building, in a certain city, among a certain people. And he was limited. And once a year, a high priest could go in to make sacrifice, not to remove the sin of the people, but to cover it for another year. And he had to be so perfect and spotless that when they went in, tradition says that when they went in, they would tie a rope around the foot of the high priest, so that if he's a bead of sweat or if there was a mole or a wart or any flaw whatsoever, he would die in God's holy presence, and they would have a rope tied to his leg so they could drag him out of there. So that is the awesome holiness and the power of the presence of God. And God has made you and me capable carriers of his presence. Because when Jesus died on the cross, the temple veil was torn from top to bottom, and God was let out of the box. And now he dwells within you and within me. That is just amazing. That we are his dwelling place. That we are his holy of holies. That we are the Ark of the Covenant. That we, listen closely now, are his mercy seat. Thank you for your excitement about that. You and I are God's mercy seat. The mercy seat was where God dispensed mercy, where it was not deserved, and we are instruments of his mercy. Wow. So that is just remarkable. So Jesus said the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. We see time and again in the book of Acts where believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that happens almost simultaneously. But in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you must be born again first, because otherwise it's impossible for him to indwell an unsaved person. Are you with me? So that's what Jesus was talking about. So Jesus also said that he's going to be our comforter. And when the pastor's on vacation and your prayer chain, their phone's out of order, you can still be comforted. Are you with me? Because we have the Holy Spirit who is our comforter, and we appreciate other people, and we need one another, and we get that, but you can still be comforted because the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Jesus said he's going to show you things to come. Aren't you grateful that the Lord gives us insight and wisdom about the future? He'll bring things to our remembrance. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will glorify me. Always remember that the Holy Spirit does not glorify the preacher. And a lot of preachers didn't get that memo. I used to want to be on TBN, but my hair was never large enough. Because I thought I could be like, let Jesus be glorified. That's awful, isn't it? I had a friend tell me, they said we took a big TBN picture of all the TBN preachers, and he said a little rainstorm arose, and he said their hair got wet and looked like a river of chocolate water running down the street. Hair dye. That funny? That's funny to me. But I haven't seen John. I haven't seen you on there for a long time. I'm really meddling now. That's funny. Okay, so Jesus gave us. So, and then the Holy Spirit gives us, because he indwells us, this ability to draw from his nature, and rather than draw from our own human nature or our own personality, we have the fruit of the Spirit. The love of God, Romans 5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. You see, if you are a born-again believer that has received and welcomed the Holy Spirit, and Jesus promised that if we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives, in Luke 11, he promised that if we welcome the Holy Spirit and invite the Holy Spirit and ask for the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, you will not receive anything weird. If your child asks for an egg, you don't give him a scorpion, and so on. He asked those questions, and he said, then if you ask for the Holy Spirit, you are going to receive the Holy Spirit and nothing other than the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. And so when the Holy Spirit indwells us, we have this capacity for the fruit of the Spirit, and we can draw from the love of God, and we as Spirit-empowered believers have the ability to express agape love. It goes beyond human love in every sense of the word, and we have the ability to draw on that love. And love, when your natural human love wanes, you can draw on the love of God and love people with that love. So we have this supernatural ability. It's not natural. Now, there are a lot of people who are just naturally kind and sweet and gentle and have a lot of good qualities, and then there are others of us who are working on those things, and particularly during driving functions. But we have the fruit of the Spirit, and we can manifest love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness and temperance and kindness, and we can manifest those things because the Holy Spirit indwells us. And then the gifts of the Spirit. And the Apostle Paul talked about those. Always remember that they are gifts. They're the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, tongues and interpretation, miracles, healings, and all of those, discerning of spirits, all those, there are nine of them listed. That's not a comprehensive, exhaustive list at all. But the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to not only enhance and bless us, but to empower us for service. And so important that we know that we are supernaturally gifted and empowered, and so we must welcome the Holy Spirit and walk in an awareness and practice his presence. Y'all with me?
Yes.
All right. So be aware you are Spirit empowered. And, one time I was working for a medical doctor. This is, I had a short time that I got mad at God and quit the ministry. I've told you that story. And, I was working, he owned a restaurant, so I was managing his restaurant, and he owned real estate, so I had a place to live, and he provided a company car, which was a Jeep, and he needed to use the Jeep for something. So he said, I need to use the Jeep, and he said, you take my Porsche Turbo Carrera. And we traded cars, and I thought, what? Sounds like a little, when I grew up as a kid, I think we had a couple of little Volkswagen Bugs. And didn't we, Mommy, have two of them, or was it just one, that one we had? Anyway, we had a Volkswagen Bug, and it sounded like that. Now, my mom worked for Dr. McNeil, so don't tell him this, please. So I was on Western Avenue in Mattoon, Illinois, and by the way, time out. Is it all right if I take a time out?
Cause
who's Indiana Jones, what's his name?
Harrison
Ford is moving to Mattoon, Illinois. I read an article about that. Seriously, did anyone else read that? Mattoon, Illinois. He's been there several times and visited it. He likes small town. The people were nice to him. And so take that. Those of you who make fun of my hometown, Mattoon. So I'm on Western Avenue in Mattoon, Illinois, and I thought, I'm just going to see what this little car will do. And so I smoked the tires in three gears, and I thought, this isn't a Volkswagen Beetle. Sometimes we don't acknowledge the power that we have because it's just me. Yeah, but it's you with a Porsche Turbo Carrera engine. And we don't sometimes realize the potential and the power that we have. I've never told that story before. So I hope Dr. McNeil doesn't listen to this message. Sorry, Dr. McNeil. Anyway, Jesus was excited. He was so excited to tell his disciples about the Holy Spirit's ministry and to tell them some of the benefits and blessings of the Holy Spirit. And sorrow had kind of tried to grip them, but he said, don't be sorrowful. It's expedient. It's better. It's going to be wonderful. I'm only here temporarily. I can only be one place at one time, but the Holy Spirit will never leave you, and he'll be with you wherever you are. Isn't that wonderful? So Jesus was excited about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so then I want to, today I've got three little points, and so turn with me to the book of Acts, and then we're going to look at a verse or two here in the book of Acts, and I'm going to give you 3 points. Acts chapter 1, verse 2. And here, this is now after Jesus' death. He has been crucified. He's hung on the cross. They went to the tomb, and it's empty. And before he ascended into heaven, is seen alive for 40 days by hundreds of people. And here is his message to those people for 40 days. Don't leave Jerusalem. Stay here. The Holy Spirit is going to be sent. Don't leave Jerusalem without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Well, now, why didn't Jesus just pray for his disciples to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Why is he waiting till he leaves and all that? Well, because they're not born again yet, and they cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit because they're not appropriate vessels at that point. Are you with me? We couldn't be filled with the Holy Spirit in the sense that Jesus wants us to be filled until we're born again, because that makes us a worthy carrier, a worthy vessel. So until the day, verse 2 of Acts chapter 1, until the day in which Jesus was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen to them for 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them, everyone say commanded, amen. They commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which Jesus said, you've heard me talk about. For John baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost in a few days. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, Lord, are you going now to restore the kingdom to Israel? So now they're thinking in political terms. See, they're still, bless their hearts, they need the baptism of the Holy Spirit so they can begin to see a little more clearly, because they're still wanting him to set up some political system. No, that's not what we're talking about here. And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has put in his own power. Verse 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me. You're going to receive power, and then you're going to be witnesses. Power and being witnesses. Witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, the last words of Jesus, he spoke those things, and while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men in white apparel, angels, which said to them, you men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So here Jesus sort of caps what he had been telling his disciples. Now he's hung on the cross. He's raised from the dead. He's seen alive by them. They've touched him and felt and so on. And he says, now the last thing he says before he ascends to the Father is you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're going to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And then there he goes. And so the angel came and asked a very legitimate question. Why do you stand here gazing into heaven? And that's the question that I would like to ask the church. Not this church, you, but included, of course, among. There are so many believers that are just standing, gazing into heaven. Oh, I'm going to heaven one day. And they're just gazing and looking now. I understand that they would, you know, I can't even let a balloon loose without watching it for 10 minutes until you can't see it anymore yet, right? So we certainly would probably all of us be looking for Jesus going up too, right? But the question was not really about that. The question is, why don't you get busy now? Why are you standing, doing nothing, gazing into heaven? So a lot of believers, all they do, their whole spiritual journey is they gaze into heaven. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. Yeah, but we need your help here. Yeah, in the sweet by and by. We need your help in the dirty, rotten here and now, though. Let your light shine. Engage. Allow the Holy Spirit to activate and motivate and mobilize you to do something significant for the kingdom. What on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? Right? Y'all here? I can conclude now if you want. I've got more, but okay. So everyone just say with me, welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. So we welcome the Holy Spirit in all of the many facets of his ministry into our lives as individuals, that he will comfort us, that he will show us things to come, that he will bring things to our remembrance, that he guides us into truth, that he will glorify Jesus, and that he, all those wonderful things, and that he empowers us with the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, and that we can flow in those and function in those. Always remember they're a gift, and don't act like you have possession of any of that. If you're a Spirit-filled believer, here's the impression that I got, I'm going to just say for myself, that I got growing up, that there were super spiritual people that just seemed to have a corner on God, and they were the ones that always gave a tongue or interpretation, or they're the ones that gave a prophecy. They're the ones, and that the rest of us, kind of this normal Christians, didn't really measure up, and God wasn't going to use us in that special way. And then sometimes there was pride, and I've seen it, you know, even recently, there's spiritual pride, and that's what the Apostle Paul had to address with the Corinthian church, because they were kind of puffed up. Well, you know, I can prophesy. I mean, that kind of an attitude. And it's a gift from the Holy Spirit to bless you and to bless other people. Don't act like, you know, you got a corner on God or something. If you have welcomed the Holy Spirit into your life, you have the capacity to flow in any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's news to some people. You may not have the boldness. You may not have the confidence. But if you are a Spirit-empowered believer, Spirit-filled believer, the Holy Spirit can use you in any of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, tonight we're going to step out and we're going to practice. And you don't have to if you don't want to, but we're going to have Holy Spirit training tonight. And so I encourage you to be here, because I'm believing for a release among God's people in every corner of this room and every section of this room, that the release of the Holy Spirit in a fresh, new, dynamic, exciting, fun way is going to be a reality in 2017. You know, we're always growing. We're always learning. Philippians 1:6 says he's begun something good in us, and he's increasing that and performing that and expanding that. And so I think it's appropriate in the month of January to talk about the fact that we're a supernatural people. And learn to function in that more efficiently than we have in the past. So that's what we're going to do this month. That's what we're going to talk about. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when we preach about the Holy Spirit and we look at the Word of God, and the Word of God enters into our lives, the lights come on, the boldness and the confidence arise, and we can begin to step out in some things. And you don't have to do it like anyone else did it. You don't have to look like Steve Stunning, the evangelist. Just be you. Man, this is good. This is better than your facial expression is seeming to indicate. Okay, are you ready? 3 points. Number one, if we're going to welcome the Holy Spirit in our lives, we must come to this determination that we're under orders. Jesus commanded them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It was not a divine suggestion, hoping you'll consider possibly opening your life to the Holy Spirit. He commanded his disciples to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there were 500 people that saw Jesus in these 40 days, and his message pretty much was, wait here, be filled with the Holy Spirit. There were 120 in Acts chapter 2. We see that there were 120 gathered in the upper room. And there was a spectacular, wonderful visitation of the Holy Spirit. The initial sending of the Holy Spirit was pretty spectacular. I mean, there's a wind blowing through and fireballs on their head, and they're saturated with God's presence, and they spilled out into the streets not knowing how to conduct themselves with this new grace on their lives. And some people thought they were crazy, and some people thought they were drunk. And then Peter, this is his first sermon after being filled with the Holy Spirit. He you know, Peter, who's mealy-mouthed, and he's an old, crusty, salty fisherman, and he sometimes he'd pull out his cuss words and from his sailor days, and sometimes he'd deny Jesus, and then he'd say stupid stuff along the way, and that Peter, though, the Apostle Peter, now empowered by the Holy Spirit, lifts up his voice like a trumpet, and under the unction and anointing of the Holy Spirit, preaches his first message as a Spirit-filled believer, and 3,000 people got saved. That's the difference. So, they're under orders. Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait here. Tarry. I want to send the Holy Spirit. Wait for the sending of the Holy Spirit. We have to be under orders. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus had a visitor as a centurion and came to Jesus. And he said to, a centurion was a Roman soldier who was over 100 people. And so, man of pretty significant influence. And so, he came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, my servant is at home sick. And Jesus said, well, I'll go home with you and heal him. And the centurion responded the way almost any, no one in Jesus' day would. He said, no, you don't have to come to my home. Listen to these words. Now, I am a man under authority, having people under me. I say to one, go, and they go. I tell someone to do something, and they do it. I tell them to come here, they do. And he said, so he said, I'm a man under authority, and then I have people under me. And when I say, things happen. Jesus, I understand military protocol. I understand military authority. I understand how that works. I see that you have spiritual authority because you are under authority. You have authority. Of course, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I don't do what I do on my own. It's the Father who does the work. So Jesus is under the authority of the Word, of the Holy Spirit, of the Father. He's under authority. And because Jesus is under authority, he has authority. Are you with me? And so the centurion recognizes that. So he says, don't come home with me. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus was astonished. It says he was astounded. Only two times, I think, in the Gospels, it says Jesus was astonished at his great faith. Man, oh man. He said, I haven't found faith like this anywhere. He said, this man gets it. So you and I, being under authority, have authority. Amen. Dominion, Pastor Craig. We have dominion. We have authority. We have to use that authority. And so the centurion shocked Jesus and was commended by Jesus. And if you are not, listen closely now, remember this, because authority is happening right here in this room. And we have to be under authority. We have to be, let me give you an example that'll really clear it up for you. Here's what Jesus said to the whole church. Here's what he said, go. And a lot of Christians just are not under that authority. No, Jesus, I'm not going to go because I'm shy. And hey, what are you talking about? And if you won't be under authority, you don't have any. So we have to determine, I'm going to get myself under the authority of the Word. I'm going to get myself under the authority of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get myself under the authority of my assignment. I'm going to get myself under the authority of the dream that God has given me. I'm going to get under the authority of that so that I have some. Because a lot of believers just run around not under authority at all. They're just, whatever's for my comfort and my ease, and I don't want to be, you know, be kind of interrupted, and I want to be inconvenienced at all. And they're just kind of doing their own thing, and they love Jesus, kind of, and they're going to heaven. But they're not participating in the fullness of the Holy Spirit because they're not under authority. So if you're not under authority, just make that determination right now. I'm going to shape up, Pastor. I'm going to get myself in line, and I'm going to get under authority because I want to flow in authority. Thank you for one amen and a sneeze over there. God bless you, Kasun Height. Some tissues over there to that person, if you would, please. Number two, being in the right place. The disciples gathered themselves together there in the upper room. It's an act of obedience. They're under authority of Jesus, and so they've gathered together, and they're in the right place. A few weeks ago, we talked about Elijah and a message where God has it there for us, and so he told Elijah, Elijah prophesied no more rain, and then there was an ensuing drought, and so on, and so God will always, no matter what the economy's doing, God has the ability to provide for his people, and so he says to Elijah, Elijah, I want you to go to the brook Cherith, and I have commanded ravens to feed you there. Everyone say there. Yeah. So he had to be there because, so he went down to the brook Cherith. He drank from the brook, and the ravens brought him meat and bread twice a day. Now, God will use very unusual means to provide for you and for me, probably sometimes the least likely source that we could even imagine. And basically, vultures are bringing a human being food twice a day under God's command because he's at the right place. Are you with me? The brook dries up. God's not done providing for his servant until rain falls and things heal in the land. God's still going to provide for his ministry and his preacher. So he says to Elijah, now the brook's dried up, so now I want you to go to Zarephath. I have commanded a widow woman to sustain you there. Everyone say there. So being at the right place is very important. So he goes to Zarephath. He finds the widow woman who's about to make her last pancake, eat it with her son. That's it. They're going to eat it and die. The preacher says, give me some first. Give God some first. Honor the Lord first. She makes him a little pancake first. Then she makes a pancake for she and her son. The prophet says to her, if you'll give God some first, then the little cruse of oil and the barrel of meal will not fail. And God supernaturally multiplied her supply, and she was able to sustain herself and her son and the preacher for many, many days until the famine was over. Are you with me? So you have to be at the right place. Find out. The Holy Spirit wants to guide us. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And if we will hearken to him, he will guide us. He's working, Philippians 2:13. He's working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We will be led forth with peace and let God's peace guide you and lead you. But we must get to the right place. Number three, and I conclude with this. And conclusion is a very relative term. Be with the right people. I have to tell you, the happiest moments of my life are when I'm with you. Either my morning time when I'm with the Lord and I read my devotional and spend my prayer time in the morning, and then right here. This is, I'd just rather be here than anywhere. I don't care about going to Disney World if I could be here. Something about being with God's people. And it's important to be among people who will celebrate when you get blessed. Who will stand with you when you're having a tough time. Who will cheer you on and encourage you. If I want to be anything in your life, I want to be your cheerleader. I want to be your cheerleader. You can do it. God's good. He'll help you. You're going to make it. Hang in there. Don't give up. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't be weary in well-doing. Rejoice in the Lord. Step out. Find your dream. Go for it. I just want to cheer you on. I believe in some of you more than you believe in yourself. Because I see with the eye of heaven the potential and the possibility. So I just want to cheer you on. But to be among the right people is such a vital part. So the 120 gathered in the upper room, gosh, I would just like to see their interactions and how, you know, they would encourage one another. Maybe they're waiting. Who knows how long they waited. And maybe they got a little bit weary and they're waiting and they would encourage one another. Now Jesus said, it's going to be okay. Hang in there. Don't leave. I'm going to get back to my hometown. I've got things to take care of. No, stay here. Remember what Jesus said? He promised the Holy Spirit. And they must have encouraged one another. Whether it was hours or days or who knows how long they waited. But they tarried there. They waited there. And there was encouragement among them. And in Acts chapter 4, the great story, or Acts chapter 3 actually, when Peter and John went to the temple, there's a man lame from his mother's womb, and I'm concluding truly, this little story. There's a man lame from his mother's womb who's begging for alms. He puts his cup out, and Peter and John said, "We don't have any money. We're going to church. Why would we take money?" I know some of you relate with that. I don't know whether to laugh or cry about that. We don't have silver or gold, but we do have something. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And they reached down and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he went walking and leaping and praising God into the temple and disrupted their service. And there were people there who, they gathered up their bulletin and they said, "There's no interpretive dance on the menu. What's he doing? Who is that?" "That's the guy that's lame out by the temple gate. Oh my goodness, what's he doing dancing like that? It's a miracle." And so finally Peter and John must have gone in with him and watched all this happening. And so they gathered up Peter and John and they demanded to know who's done this and by what authority and by what name is this done. And they said, "You remember Jesus that you all killed? He's alive and good. All's fine with Jesus. Jesus did that." Well, you can imagine how happy that made him. And here, and you can read it in Acts chapter 4. I won't take time to read it because I am concluding. But here's what they said, and I'll kind of quote part of it. They said, "We, a notable miracle has been done. And we cannot deny it. This is a miracle. A man who was lame from his mother's womb is walking and leaping and praising God right up here in the church." Listen to the next words. "But that it spread no further, let us threaten them." I don't know if more evil words were ever spoken than that. A man's been healed. His whole life has been changed. God has touched him. But we don't want anyone else having that. "But that it spread no further." And they took Peter and John and they commanded them never to teach, never to preach, no more in the name of Jesus. They threatened them. They beat them. Can you imagine something wonderful like that happening and then religious people responding in such a way? John Osteen, father of Joel Osteen, had a daughter named Lisa, who was a friend of mine, actually. She was at Oral Roberts University when I was at Raymond. We were friends. And she was ill as a child. No sucking reflex and other issues. And he was a Baptist pastor, and he had just encountered the Holy Spirit. He'd been a Baptist for 20 years. And he received the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Had to function and minister for 20 years without the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so he prayed for his daughter, who was an infant at that time. And she was healed. It was a miracle. The doctors even said it's a miracle. She was healed. And he said he was telling a fellow Baptist pastor about this, and the Baptist pastor said, "The devil can heal too, you know." So that's kind of see, those the religious people that we read about right here, they're still around. And so they said that it spread no further, and they beat them and threatened them and commanded them not to teach at all or preach in the name of Jesus. So here's what happened. Immediately upon their release, it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 23, they went to their own company. To be among the right people is a significant part of our allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through us, because they have just allowed the Holy Spirit to minister through them, and a great miracle had ensued. And then the discouragement comes. And it happens. Let me just tell you that when you do something significant in ministry, or you reach out to someone in love, then the devil starts playing, well, that was stupid. I don't think they like that. You know, and the enemy will just mess with your head. And so Peter and John have just had this threatening and this commanding not to teach in the name of Jesus. So immediately they went to their own company. And when their own company, like they came here to Victory, when they heard about it, they lifted up their voice in prayer. And they gathered around Peter and John. And they must have prayed over them. And they said, Lord, grant unto your servants boldness to preach in the name of Jesus, to heal in the name of Jesus, signs and wonders and miracles in the name of Jesus. Lord, pour it on. Give some more. And so there's just something about being among our own company where encouragement can come. Because when we're out there allowing our light to shine and letting the Holy Spirit love through us or encourage through us or heal through us or whatever Jesus, because Jesus said, what I did, you do. Go do it. Go do what I did. So let's just go do that, knowing that it's not our own ability that's going to make it happen anyway. It's His ability in and through us. But when good things happen, the enemy seems to always bring that discouragement. I know that there are exceptions, but probably the least dangerous thing for you to do, and I'm not asking for it myself, please, so understand that, but the least dangerous thing you can do is to affirm a preacher after they minister. You know, well, if I compliment him too much, his head will get all puffed up and all that. No, I promise you the devil will make sure any puffing of the head gets, for most people, gets leaked out pretty quickly. And to affirm one another, like Peter and John, to affirm each other right here among us. Because you've had a week, you've had experiences, you've had discouragements, you've had victories, you've had some good times, and you've had some excitement in your walk with God, and you've had some scary moments. And so we, when we come together, make part of your ministry to be an encourager. Make part of your ministry to kind of check and scan the horizon of your brothers and sisters in Christ and anyone with a downcast demeanor. Just go over there and fan the flames of the fire of the Holy Ghost, and you're going to make it. My God, you're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Him who strengthens you. You're going to do exploits. I see you fulfilling your purpose and God's call. I see, you know, are you with me? Just really speaking from our spirit. How many of you know there's a difference between kind of backslapping people and go, hey, good guy, and speaking from your spirit? And when we articulate words that are anointed and dripping with the Holy Spirit's grace, that's ministry. So I encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. And so, church, I encourage you to practice His presence and to walk in the reality. Be under authority. You don't have any. If you're not under authority, you don't have any authority. So be under the authority of the Word. Be under the authority of your assignment. Be under the authority of the Holy Spirit's guidance. Be under the authority of compassion. Be under the authority of love. You know, Jesus was led by compassion. That's one way we can be under authority. Is if compassion is speaking, we respond to that. We're under authority. See what I'm saying? And so it's not difficult to get under authority. It's just a decision. And then being in the right place, God has a spot for you. God has a moment for you. God has a place for you. And be with the right people. Be among encouragers. Be among encouragers. And I will do everything I can to encourage you. But let's encourage one another.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org and for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.